You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
26 minutes to 10 o'clock, we go to Brother Ruth. He says, good evening, AK. You know, Muslims like to boast that the Quran is the word of God. Am I right? And it is authentic. Am I right? And has never been changed. This is Ruth. What proof and evidence do you have for that? How can you say that after more than 1400 years, it hasn't changed? Brother Ruth, Ustad.
Excellent question, my brother Ruth. Ruth is both ways, because I know some ladies also are Ruth. So whatever, brothers, sisters, or whatever, it is no problem. If you want from the Quran itself, so Almighty Allah teaches us in chapter 15, verse number 9. Chapter 15, verse number 9. Inna nahnu nazzalna zikra wa inna lahu lahafizun. That verily we reveal this reminder piecemeal gradually, and surely we are protecting it, no interpolation, no addition, no omission. So this you will find in chapter 15, that is Suratul Hijr and verse number 9. So that is from Quran. But you will say you don't believe in the Quran, you want another proof. So that's fair enough as a question. You see, my brother, just now, if you were listening to the program from the beginning, we spoke of one terminology called Taraweeh. Now this month of Ramadan, which will start in 2 weeks' time or so, daytime we are fasting, and nighttime we are reciting the Quran. And we have millions and millions of people throughout the world. Every country, you will find somebody is reciting the Quran by memory, and that is the only book, the most memorized book. Now this happened from time of the Prophet, peace be upon him, then during the time of his successors, and then it went into different countries. South Africa, what is our population of Muslim? We are 2%, but per capita, if you take individually, we have one of the highest number of people who are Hafiz, Hufaz, who memorize the Noble Quran. If you go to a mosque during the month of Ramadan and you just see the amount of reciters, there will be minimum 2 or 3 or 4 or 5, and then in the classroom, in the school, I will read the prayer, compulsory prayer in the mosque. I come home, I am in front, one man, one vote, and then my wife is behind me because I want to read the entire Quran Sharif on my own. So my brother, that is the miracle. Now let me give you 2-3. You must remember evidence which will appeal to you. I don't know, my brother Ruth, sister Ruth, that did you go to India or did you study the British Empire and so forth, with their cruel occupation in Britain, in India by the British. So you must remember they were murdering the Muslims and hanging the ulama. You must remember the scholars. This is all documented. You must remember that. Then the ulama posed one question to them. You are taking our Quran and you are burning it, and you think that you will get rid of the Quran. What will you do with the Quran that is in the recesses of our heart? Yeah, me and Maulana Arafat are here. He's Hafiz, I'm Hafiz. So what will you do? So we have the Quran in our heart. So you try it, my brother Ruth. Send a Vatican a note and tell them, Mr. Pope, Francis, Benedict, this one, that one, Paul, Peter, whoever, that you read the Bible, the original Bible that was revealed to Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, the Gospel and the Injil, and in the original language from cover to cover, not one person, the answer came, there's no hope for the Pope. You go to apartheid, the rogue regime of Israel, and go tell that chief rabbi there, he must read the Torah from cover to cover, by heart, by memory. They will tell you, you're a terrorist or you're anti-Semite. Therefore, without fear of contradiction, my brother Ruth, I say, there are so many different versions of the Bible and other books that even the virgins get confused, my brother. So that's one point. So the British one. If you go to Uzbekistan, and I don't know if you've been to this world, we were there. And if you go to Tashkent, you will find one of the oldest copies of the Noble Quran. And this was verified by UNESCO. And this goes back to the son-in-law of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And he was not the only son-in-law. He was the son-in-law not once, but twice. He married two daughters of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one after the other. Sayyida Ruqayya radiallahu anha passed away. Then he, Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anhu, married Sayyida Umme Kulsum. So imagine he, the Prophet Muhammad, passed away in the 11th year after the migration. He, Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anhu, ruled this Ummah from the year 24 to 35, the 12 years, beginning 24 and ending of 35. So in his time, the Quran that was there prevalent, you will find it in the Tashkent Museum, which I saw myself. And remember, they have a certain from UNESCO. So these are things that even you will have to accept, my brother. And we are the only people on the face of this earth that have memorized it, millions. Old, young, 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 7-year-old. The miracle, my brother Ruth, is South Africa. We speak English, we speak Afrikaans, we speak Meman, Gujarati, Urdu, our own vernacular. None of us, really speaking, are Arabs. We are all non-Arab as far as now the Arabs came from Egypt, Morocco, that's a separate thing. So we by hearted the Quran in Arabic, 6,236. Verses, 114 chapters. I was not even mature and baligh when I completed the Quran. And I remember my beloved parents wanted I must lead the prayer. So we went to find out. They said, no, you're still a minor. So I used to enjoy it, take out everybody's mistakes. Nobody could take out my mistake because I wasn't allowed to read. So you see, my brother, we are non-Arabs. But we by-hearted it. And the Arabs today, majority are learning English. They're not reading Quran. So they suffer from the inferiority complex, majority of them. But Almighty Allah chooses and selects whoever He wants to. So therefore, without fear of contradiction, you bring any person of any faith and tell them to show us a divine scripture in its original form and show us that one, only one I'm asking, can read. He did cover to cover without looking inside and show us that there are no other versions of it and so forth. I give you one more thing, my brother Ruth. I think you are from Natal. You can go and Google it. You know Ahmed Didat, a very famous person. I was there in his town, Vellum. So anyway, Allah grant Sheikh Ahmed Didat Jannatul Firdaus. I still have the cutting. This maybe happened in the 80s or in the 70s or so. You know, under the apartheid regime, we had a census board. And that census board, they had two dominees, two priyadakan, two priests. So he took parts of the Bible, he removed the numbers and so forth, and he sent it to them. And which portion of the Bible? You Google it, my brother Ruth. Two adulterous sisters in Ezekiel and all that. And he asked them, what you say? Imagine there are two priests there, two dominees. They said, this is unacceptable. This is pornography. So he went to the Sunday Tribune and said, see, that this is what your South African Census Board under apartheid is saying, that the Bible is pornography. And remember, if you read that, you will feel ashamed. And that is what he told Swegat. You know how Ahmed Didat used to speak? Master Swegat, read that portion for me, and I will give you 50, $100. And how fast we got read it, because he knew he was really jammed up. So you even feel ashamed to read the Bible, today's Bible, your King James Version, New International Version, or this version, or whatever else you want to call it. You take Quran, any verse you can read, and you will never feel ashamed. It's in its pristine purity, my brother Ruth.
I see Clyde says to brother Ruth, Mr. AK is 100% right. You know, I like like my religion, but I'm having doubts because we've got the New Testament and the Old Testament. So, AK, why do we change our Bible? Ustad, Clyde.
That you have to ask them. You must ask them. Therefore, I add certain pickle to it and I say, they have so many versions that even the virgins are confused and they're blowing their fuses.
Mm. Ustad, is complications using pregnancy a test from Allah? Tell it from Dubai, Ustad.
Everything comes from Almighty Allah. That is an article of faith. When I make a certain person Muslim, or we are teaching Muslim children or adults, and we explaining to them the articles of faith, we say, "Wal qadri khayrihi wa sharrihi min Allah." Good, bad, happy, sad, all comes from Almighty Allah. Allah bless you with a handsome son, beautiful daughter, twins or whatever. So that is a gift and a present from Almighty Allah. Quran says it's a present. Yahabu limay yashau inatha wa yahabu limay yashau dhukur. Chapter 42, verses 48, 49, 50. And you must remember when these complications, yesterday somebody contacted me and they were crying. They said, please make dua. They beg Almighty Allah must give our daughter, our son, whatever it was, cure. There's a hole in the heart of the baby just born. And now the baby has to go into ICU and emergency operation and so forth. So all that is a test and a trial from Almighty Allah for the baby, for you, the parents. But we are Muslims. We always remain positive. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Never become disillusioned, disappointed in the mercy of Almighty Allah. So we beg Almighty Allah, Ya Allah, you give shifa to all the babies, all the children, the entire ummah, Muslim and non-Muslim. So inshallah, when they recover, then they will see the kudrat, the power of Almighty Allah. Many a time, my one cousin, he told me, you don't run away here and there. Tonight, there'll be janaza. That's a long time ago in Durban. So I asked him, what do you mean? He said, that Lady Day is critical, and according to our prognosis, 8 hours, 10 hours, you must remember she'll be gone. So they will want you to read the prayer. So I said, fine, I'm here. She's still living, and the doctor also is still living. Sometimes you get the patient is still living, and the doctor passed away, you see. So therefore, we don't believe in all these things, prognosis and all that. Is like a weather forecast. So it's a forecast. Maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong, but Quran is 100% right. So Almighty Allah made our children, innama amwalukum wa auladukum fitna. Your wealth and your children, grandchildren, are a trial and a test for you.
Ustad Roshni, is it permissible to use black herbal hair dye? Ustad?
Not permissible. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw the father of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So you must remember Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's name Abdullah, his father's name Usman, his kunya agnoman Abu Bakr, his father's kunya and Abu Quhafa. Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the messenger, said this hadith, if you want reference, is in Sahih Muslim, that his hair, the father of Sayyidina Abu Bakr, his hair was gone grayish, whitish. غَيِّرُ شَيْبْ يَا أَبَا قُحَافَ. Change the color of your hair. But وَجْتَنِي بِسَوَاد. But you cannot use black. That will be deception. So brown and other colors and so forth. So all that would be acceptable. So black not permissible. Kala, you want to become young now. So she wants to compete with the daughter-in-law. So she dyes her hair also black now. Not permissible. Nor for male, nor for female.
I see. Sister Evelyn says, I have a few questions for you regarding Islam. I know you don't like our country, the United States of America, but I've got a question for you, AK. Why does Islam have arranged marriages? Why can't you marry someone you love? At least when you date, you know how the person is going to be. Now imagine living with a stranger. Sister Evelyn, Ustad.
Sister Evelyn, we have to rephrase your question, and I told you that before, Evelyn. I've been to America twice. We like America. We don't like your policies. We don't like your crooked politicians. When you come and invade into Iran, Iraq. Mm. When you prop up the terrorist, state terrorism of Israel, and you give them billions of dollars, so that is what we hate and detest. And any person of conscience and of justice will also hate it. So we don't hate America or the people. We hate your foreign policy, because you must remember it's a bad policy that is based on imperialism, is based on apartheid, and is based on treating non-whites as second class and third class. One easy question I pose to you, my sister Evelyn, and what is that? In 2001, your George W. Bush, war on terror, which means war on Islam. Mm. He took my brothers and he dumped them in Guantanamo Bay. And after Bush came Obama, after Obama came Trump, after Trump came Biden. Everyone got stories. Till today, the indelible stain on the American regimes, that how come you have that murderous place, that place of torture, you must remember, and it's only for Muslims. If you ask me, that should be where the American presidents one by one should be sent to, and every Muslim should be released. Where's the due process? Where's the human rights? Where is their democracy? So you see, you have democracy, you must remember, but not for the Muslims. Muslims will be treated as second class. That is what we are speaking about. Your domestic policy and your foreign policy stinks, because you must remember, my sister Dr. Afia, what you did with her, you Americans. Go and see in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Abu Ghraib, what you did. What you did in Guantanamo Bay. So that is why we hate, you must remember, your policy and your politicians who agree with this. That is our point. Now, my sister, to answer your question, Evelyn, when you want to discuss and see something, how do you know it's good or bad? You look at the end result, you look at the consequences. So let us take America, that you have 350 million, 4 million, 400 million people, plus minus, I'm giving, 350 million plus minus. So now, how many divorce cases do you have? Were they not dating? Were they not smooching? Were they not trying before they got married? They were making children and bees before they got married. So if your dating and smooching and shaking in system was good, then how come your statistics are belying it and rejecting it? Your divorce rate spiraling, the people going to the psyche and going to the, what you called it in America, you must remember, I remember one chap was there where he used to read Salat behind me, the shrink. So why are your people going to the shrink so much? They're going half mad. So you must remember, because the domestic is, the families are living a dysfunctional family. So the dating and the smooching and making bees, all that is a system for the animals. You must remember that. That animals don't have to worry about lineage. They don't have to worry. They just park anywhere where they want to. Park in the parking lot or park in the loading zone. But human being is the masterpiece of Almighty Allah's creation. My sister Evelyn, I know in America very few people really have their own cars. But I give you the doubt you have a car, Ford, you like Ford, made in America, right? So now when you want to take your car for a service, where will you go? You will ask the Ford company. They are the people who manufactured it. So they know better about it. They gave you the dust. They gave you all the guidance and guidelines and directives. So Almighty Allah created us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And He gave us directives. So what directive did He give us? وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ. And it is the sign and the symbol of Almighty Allah. أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. That He Almighty Allah created. Sorry about that. Almighty Allah created for you from your own species. He created from your own kind, Adam and Eve. You go to America, go and study your people's law there and see. Even the genders you all are mixed up now. It's no more Adam and Eve. It's Adam and Steve, Madam and Eve. And you can be transgender, you can be this gender, and all that is acceptable. The satanic system to destroy the family life. and khalaqa lakum min anfusikum azwaja. So when you get married, I did not speak to my wife, I did not date her, we never went out. Litaskunu ilayha. Then we get married, and after marriage, when you embrace one another, and when you live with one another, then Almighty Allah brings the peace, the tranquility. The husband is pure, the wife is pure, the husband is chaste, the wife is chaste. So the marriage will bring the love. You know the sacrifices your wife is making. The wife knows the sacrifices the husband is making. When you married 40, 50, 60 years, then you don't have to say every day, my darling, my sweetheart, I love you. You now the mercy will overtake you. So that is what our Creator is teaching us. Chapter number 30, verse number 21. My sister Evelyn, juxtapose and compare our system and your system and see how many bees you got there in America, how many bees we got here in South Africa, how many bees we got in Brazil and France. You will be amazed in this day and this age, there are more bees being born than normal children with parents, and therefore you have your dysfunctional system. So Islamic system guarantees, remember, human rights. What is human right? Where you know who is your father, you know who is your mother. Not that you got Adam and Steve and so forth. Now you call one mother and you call one father. That is the destruction of the human race. So that is what Islam teaches us. Read, my sister Evelyn, chapter 30, verses 21. Right up to 25, 26, and see the signs and the symbols of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala.
I see Sister Evelyn says, the way you're speaking, it is as if you will never ever enter the United States of America ever again. Sister Evelyn, God be with you.
They won't give me a visa, so we don't want to go. Any country I've been twice, now I say, why am I to waste my time? I'll spend the money going somewhere else.
Subhanallah. Ustad, I recently heard a Maulana saying that the father has rights over his son's wealth and son's life. Please clarify this, Ustaz. Shukran.
Again, a case of selective study of Islam. Therefore, I tell you, you can never understand Islam via Mr. Google and Mrs. Internet and all the satanic things. You have to sit at the feet of the masters. You have to sit at the feet of the great, great giant ulama. For what I still go for lessons every week to our Honorable Ustad and Sheikh Hazrat Mufti Rizaul Haqsa. We sit with the students. So now our Sheikh Hazrat is gone. Now it's holiday time. Inshallah, after Ramadan, he comes back, our program will go back, we will go there. So remember, we learn from the womb to the tomb. We learn from the cradle to the grave. So that is what Islam, we sit there on the lazy boy, sit on your, you understand, laurels and think of Hadi, and I'm studying Islam. You waste your time, remember that. Dwallu wa adwallu, and you'll get one crooked Maulvi, he'll be more crooked than you also. So you must remember, he'll lead you more astray. So you must remember this, that in Islam we say one hadith, anta wa maluka li abik, you and your wealth, your assets, you belong to the father. Authentic hadith, Musnad Ahmad. Another hadith in Mishkat Sharif, la yahillu malu mri'in muslimin illa bitri biqalbin minhu. I have my father, I have my mother, they are alive, for example. I am a millionaire and my father is a millionaire, so he got no right to come to my shop and my factory and just start picking up and going. So he doesn't have the right to do that. But I am rich, I'm well to do, and my father is a pauper and he doesn't have much, and they're really struggling, and I got no common sense also. I'm not really helping him, for example, Allah forbid. Then when they are in dire straits, then he can come to my shop, to my business, take from there. So anta wa maluka li abik is indal ihtiyaj. When the parents are in dire straits, and the children are good for nothing, like today, majority children, good for nothing if you look at them. They'll dump their parents in the old age home. They will say that the parents are a burden and so forth. So therefore, and the parents are struggling, then the parents can take some of their wealth, the children's wealth, even without permission and consent. That is the justice system of Islam.
Ustad, I've got an anonymous listener, new listener. He says, call me Mr. Professor. I am a professor and a dean, D-E-A-N. I am highly educated and have authored many books. Now I have a problem with women who want to wear black and cover their faces. It says here, the verse says that they should cover their chest, not look like the angel of death, scaring civilians clad in black. Professor Ustad.
So thank you, Professor. So we will call you D.D., Doctor of Divinity. So that's what you are claiming to be. So now let us see something, my brother. Again, a case of studying the Quran. You must remember selective studying and studying in selectively, which you are quoting is chapter 24, verse 31. وَلْيَدْرِبْنَا بِخُمُورِهِنَّ عَلَىٰ جُيُوبِهِنَّ. How come you didn't speak about chapter 33, verse 59, my dear professor? Go to chapter 33, verse 59, and go and study. How come you didn't speak about Mary the Virgin? So go study the old people and how they would dress. If you look, I've been to Scandinavia, Norway and Denmark and Sweden. Go and study the Queen of Denmark, 100, 150, 200. 100 years ago, she used to walk in the streets of Copenhagen and wherever, and she used to wear a veil over her face. That was the queen. So what you will say about them? Were they angel of death? They are your queen. You have the king, queen and king culture and so forth, Mr. Professor. So my brother, Professor, that don't study Islam selectively. You did a selective study. You only saw chapter 33, verse 24. I read it for you. How come conveniently you are suffering from selective amnesia? Chapter 33, verse 59, you didn't study. And there's no such thing that the lady must wear black clothes. So you must remember, she can wear black, she can wear brown, she can wear navy blue, she can wear grey, all that is fine. Ya ayyuha nabi qul li azwajika wa banatika wa nisa'il mu'minina yudnina 'alayhinna min jalabibihin. So our ladies have to cover themselves, their bodies, their faces, everything. I want to pose one question to you, my dear professor. How come, I assume and presume that you say you are a doctor, a professor, and you wrote books maybe on Christianity, religion, or other subjects and topics. How come you find in France? How come you find the Pope? How come you find that the Christian church, they have to all go here and there and apologize? Apologize for what, my brother professor? For pedophilia. So is Islam better? That which tells us, encourages us, commands us to get married or to lead a life of celibacy, where you, the priest, are taking advantage of the children and the minors under your care, where your monks are busy with your nuns and doing monkey business there. So I'm asking you this question. So you need to think properly. If you want, you must remember that to speak of Islam, then we have to compare apples with apples. So study it with Judaism, who say they are chosen people, and the rest of the world are Goyim, Gentile, second, third, fourth class people. So they have made God also a racist, as how racist they are. And Christianity, they have so many different versions that even the virgins are confused nowadays. So my brother professor, my advice to you and to my Muslim brothers and sisters, yudillu bihi kathira wa yahdi be kathira. Through this Quran Sharif, many people go astray. And through this Quran Sharif, the noble Quran, many people will find guidance. So how can that be? It seems paradoxical that one side you say people go astray, and on the other side you say that people, you must remember, receive guidance. So they will receive guidance when the quest is there for sincerely you searching and looking for the truth and the light and the radiance of Islam, and you prepare to suppress your desires. But when people have their own theory, their own concept, their own agenda, and then they want to look for verses, as you did now, so you have your own idea. Muslim women are the terrible, and they are the people who are like death merchants and what have you. Now let me go look for a verse to try and corroborate and substantiate my claim. So that is yudillu bi kathira, how people go astray. If you want this verse, my dear professor, chapter 2, verse 26. So Quran Sharif, noble Quran, was, is, will always be the greatest miracle of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. It is a living book, remember that, and living constitution. South African constitution, I laughed last week, I love radio, you know. Mm-hmm. Whenever I'm in my car, I'm going here and there, I switch on the radio. What is the station playing? What is the station? So the lady was speaking, our South African constitution is the most progressive constitution in the world. But she forgot to say, we are the crime capital of the world also. And we have become the gay capital of the world in Cape Town as well. So when you want to speak of constitution, let's see what you did. Your murder rate is gone out of proportion. Your rape rate is gone out of proportion. Your gay rate is gone out of proportion. So what good is such a progressive constitution? Come to Quran, the only constitution, and then elaborated, expounded by the Prophet of Islam, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for humanity and posterity. May Almighty Allah guide me, you, and Professor, and the entire human race. Inshallah, tomorrow morning, 4 o'clock, Mona Arafat will be firing up. I will be here 5:15, and next up, my brother, my colleague, Hafiz Yusuf Kala, he memorized the Quran Sharif with me. So I finished in 1970, he finished in 71 or 72, and subhanallah, that he will be reciting now. And if you only knew the Urdu language, so you must remember, you can listen to him, and thereafter you listen to Maulana Salim Dorat, senior scholar there in Leicester in UK, and mashallah, he'll be speaking about Corona ne logo Corona rona kar diya. The Corona made people cry and cry. So in Urdu you say Corona and Rona Rona. So that is what his topic is all about in the Urdu language. Barakallahu feek. Salamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You heard that from our beloved senior fadilatul ustad. See you guys tomorrow morning, same time, same place on our program As-Safinatu ila al-Jannah. Up next, Hafiz Kala Sahib, then inshallah the Urdu lecture by our beloved Hazrat Maulana Salim Dorat, Tamad Barakatuhum, from London in UK, Leicester. Of course, as you said, Corona is the topic, Muftar said, and Rona, Rona. So we leave you alive on this beautiful evening from myself and our beloved senior ustad and our engineers and the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, Sirius FM, and Al Ansar International. Allahumma hadina, wahadibina, wahadina, sir, jami'a, ji ustad.
Inshallah, my brother Lukolo is preparing the podcast in 4 parts. We will send it out in the next half an hour, 45 minutes, inshallah, Aziz. So wait and you will receive it, inshallah. That is the podcast of tonight's Q&A. And announce that of tomorrow for Ansar Radio, Maulana.
Yes, and tomorrow evening, inshallah, between 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock, only for Radio Al Ansar listeners, the pre-recording of the Q&A that took place on the 21st of March. That was on a Sunday between 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock. Listeners of Al Ansar did not get a chance to listen to that program. So tomorrow, the 30th, inshallah, of March, tomorrow evening between 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., it will be the pre-recording, the Q&A that took place on the 21st of March, 2021. From myself and all of you out there, Allahumma ahdina wa ahdibina wa ahdina sa jami'a. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.